This podcast is recorded on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and we'd like to acknowledge and pay respect to the traditional custodians of this country in which we work and live.
Woo! Hello, Gabby. How are you?
Hello again. I'm good.
You're good.
We're full of energy.
Yeah, I've got coffee. It's the afternoon.
Are you drinking coffee?
Yeah. Actually, it's not the afternoon anymore, is it? It's night.
It's literally in the evening.
It's the evening. Is that not going to keep you up at night or no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
But that's all right because this week's artist also keeps me up at night.
Oh, what a segue.
Wow, isn't that a good segue?
I feel like we need some cringe sound effect.
Here's another cringe sound effect. The title of the show.
I've got notes.
I've got notes too. God damn, it hits every time.
Yeah, it gets better every time. I think I could have improved. I can't believe how many takes it took me to get mine. But anyway, we won't dwell on that.
No, that's fine.
I feel like you can tell that you drink a lot of coffee in that. And you can tell that I'm like...
My creative process is actually just like 70% caffeine intake and 30%
work. That's healthy. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So who are we chatting about today?
We are chatting about quite a controversial musical figure.
I would argue, though, quite loved, musically loved, but maybe.
Yeah, I think he might be one of the most polarizing musos because he is musically very, very good. And then on a social level and a pop culture level, just
not
the worst.
The worst. We're talking about Donald Trump. He's released an album.
yes, good. No, we are talking about the one, the only, John Mayer.
Yep. I used to have a crush on him. Did you? Me too.
Yeah.
I think most, like, girls did.
Yeah.
When I lived in London after like high school, I remember just listening to his sad songs, walking around London, thinking like that I was so deep to be listening to that. That is so main character of you. I know.
Like you would. Like
it's
I
true.
Do.
Yeah, I was living in a montage.
When I couldn't drive. John Mayer fan dot point number one can't drive.
John Mayer can't drive.
No. It's just a fan couldn't, I assume, because you want as much moments of
to
sitting
be
on public transport.
Yes, walking or sitting. Yeah. You don't want to be driving.
Listening. You can't drive and listen to John Mayer.
No.
You drive off a cliff.
I even think a bus is too commercial for John
Mayer.
Yeah,
but there's nothing. There is nothing quite like sitting on the Blue Mountains line with rain, like it's cold.
Oh, that's
good. And you're on there for the, I used to catch the train from Sydney to Bathurst. And that's like a 4-hour train and a 1-hour bus ride. My God, the discography that man got me through. Yeah. I would just sit there and sob.
I feel like that's the right energy. You wouldn't listen to John Mayer on the train from Sydney to Newcastle.
Mm-mm.
Less that vibe. You'd more be
no,
like,
that's more of an EDM situation.
Yes, yeah.
But no, it's a hard one because I think, you know, as we've both aged, it's he's
Speak
one
for
of
yourself,
those.
I have not aged, Gabby. I am still in my early 20s.
I am forever 7. But he is one of those.
Is 29 early 20s? Just answer me that. It's early, right?
Yeah, 29.
I've been saying mid, and my dad's like, it's definitely not mid. I'm like, speak for yourself.
I believe it more like a figure. So like, you know, you're in your early 20s from the age of 20 to 25. And then once you surpass 25, that's your mid-20s.
That's mid until you
and until you
actually accept that you're 30. No, not even you turn. Until you actually accept that you're
30. You're 30.
Which could be 35. Yeah. You don't know when that.
Anyway. Oh, I will never accept it. I will go straight from 29 to 40.
Yeah,
because 40, it's like I'm free.
Yeah,
every 40-year-old you've ever met is like, fuck yeah, 40's the best.
I feel like women do that. Like they care a lot about their looks, and then one day they're just wearing colourful glasses and have silver hair, and you're like, oh my god, what happened?
Is that literally my mother? You've just described my mother.
Do we have the same mother?
Maybe we do.
Oh my god, maybe we're related.
We should get them
is
to a lunch.
Is this the parent trap? But for a podcast,
are we related?
and we
switch places.
Hold on,
I go back to
now that you said it. I have a ripped
photograph, right? But yeah, no, I feel like it's a hard one because he's just another man on a long list of men that I've loved over the years of my life that you just look at as an adult and go, oh.
I don't think and he's just had a string of women, and I don't think he's that nice. Like
the string of women thing doesn't actually bother me that much on the way that, like, the string of men for a female artist or for a queer artist wouldn't bother me.
Mm.
As much, like
it
just
does
shouldn't.
Bother me. As someone who had a crush on him, I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
When I was in love with him. Yeah, I was like, what has Taylor Swift got that I don't? I was 13 wondering why.
Yeah.
I've just, you know, I used to be just, you know, without a doubt in love with him. And I used to forgive him for a lot of things. Like as a musician, I was like, but he's so talented. And everything that he did, you know, I think my weird teenage brain was like, well, it didn't break the law.
No.
Nothing he ever said or did broke the law.
That's how I talk about most of my exes. Yeah. They didn't quite break the law.
They didn't break the law, so it wasn't that bad.
Sure, they broke my heart,
now it's a situation of like, God, I really hate that he's made some of my favourite songs.
Do we think that he has matured?
I think so.
Like, have you watched any interviews with him recently?
I actually saw him live.
Oh, when?
In 2019.
Pre-pandemic? What, in Australia?
Yeah.
And what was he like?
He was, I mean, to me, it gave off real dad vibes. Ooh. It was just like a really chill gig. Like, he had him and his band that he's had for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And they just played a really good set. And they just, it was just kind of like a really musically great concert. It had all the great songs that I really loved hearing and a lot of the new stuff. And it was before the most recent album, which I guarantee is bad. I've listened to it once and I just went, ugh.
Did he talk a lot during the song? Like in between songs?
He talked in between songs, but for the most part it just was like, I've really enjoyed touring. Oh. I really like the weather here and, you know, just like, it was just normal.
Sweet things.
Just normal stuff.
Was the audience full of women?
Oh, yeah. Actually, there was a member that I went with my boyfriend's sister. Oh. And we'd both been fans of his music. And it was really funny because obviously one of his biggest songs is Neon.
Yeah.
And there was this woman who just got so paralytically drunk. Like, she was about three rows behind us. And the entire show, she was shouting, "Play Neon! Woo! Neon!" And the thing was, at that point of his career, he was really switching up the set list. Like, the thing was, every show he did slightly change the songs he played. So at any given moment, I think in his head, he could have been like, yeah, I'm going to play Neon. But that particular show, I almost feel like the amount of times she shouted it, he went, right, I'm not playing it.
Oh.
He never said it, but he never played it. So I was like, I bet he just heard that. It was
for sure.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm just like when Taylor Swift said, you know, let's be de facto partners. Yeah. He's like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Cannot give women what they want.
No.
But he can give us the music we want.
But it's hard because I haven't really, I sort of fell off the bandwagon a bit in the last couple of years.
Definitely me too. It's like I have a lot of nostalgia when I listen to it. I feel like it's Floyd in a different time.
Yeah. I feel like it very much marks a different time.
It's like
time
Floyd
pre-learning
how to do my taxes and things. Yeah. You know? It was a different time.
It's. I think it's me and my pick me era. You know,
your pick me? What's pick me?
Oh, it's like a phrase for when I was a teenager, I thought I was a feminist. And then I look at how I treated people and I was like, oh, I was one of those. Where you go, I just think boys are just less drama. You know? Like, okay. And that whole rhetoric of like third wave kind of, you know, boys are less drama than girls. And like, you're a slut if you wear a thong.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Because
so
of all the movies.
Better,
that
of course.
And, you know, and Slaggy Lindsay was like one of my favorite things. From one of the songs and perfect. Like all that stuff. So, you know, I wanted John to like me.
Yeah, no, we all went through our John Mayer era.
Yeah.
Also, we should check out the songs, guys. They're on our playlist. We have to do our copyright.
We always forget this.
We literally always forget
this.
It's
a staple of the show.
And it's literally in front of us.
Yes.
We've got a structure for our
on
show.
On the show notes, yeah.
And yet we can't actually get this bit right. But that's fine.
Yeah, so take this moment of the show to do the normal adult thing, if you would like, to pause and go and listen to a couple of songs we've selected for the artists we're talking about.
Check out the playlist.
If you hate John Mayer, then that's all right, because we have a solution for you to not give him any streaming money.
Here's the copyright-free version.
Copyright-free version. Do you want to kick it off, Flick?
Yeah, just a reminder, it has to be, like, unintelligible so that we don't get sued. So it's got to be only... just familiar enough
the
for you.
The essence of the artist. Yeah.
Okay.
Off you go.
All right. So. Yeah, that was gravity. I don't know if you actually heard that, but I thumped to the ground. So it was more of a meta.
Yeah, that was
lyric.
A meta reference. I think every fan of John Mayer.
Everyone would have gotten
got that.
I reckon John Mayer will be changing his song.
Yeah.
And be like,
that in
remix.
All right. Mine. Okay. We'll go for like. We've got the. Afternoon. Is that not perfect?
It's such a perfect. I think we could be sued.
It's too
Gabby,
good.
Make
yeah.
it less perfect. Okay?
It's wrong.
Too beautiful.
It's before surgery.
Yeah. Oh, we've got to talk about
pre nodules, mate.
Pre his nose job. No.
No. I might do the whole podcast like this.
As John Mayer.
Yeah.
I'll just interview as
John Mayer.
Wait, so he had surgery?
He did. He had vocal surgery.
Why was he just like.
I think he got a nodule. I think the story is...
What is a nodule? Is that just
something... fun little fact. Okay, so nodule is kind of like... You know how like when you're a guitarist, or if you don't know, guitarists obviously play guitars with their fingers. Yeah. And over time...
Got it. Thank you, Gabby, for explaining that.
Well, you're also a violin player. I'm actually a fucking idiot.
Guitarists use their fingers.
But the way you get much better at doing that without feeling... Because it's painful. Like playing a stringed instrument, I'm sure you are more
to
aware
begin
than me.
With.
Is,
yeah.
Is, yeah, to begin with, very painful. And you have to like work up resilience. You have to work up calluses in your fingers. And so basically a nodule is like the opposite of what you want as a singer. You think it's... You attribute them to the same thing. But basically a nodule is like what I would essentially call like a callus on your vocal cords.
Oh my God.
Because your vocal cords are about the size of your pinky fingernail and they're a really, really thin membrane at the beginning of your trachea.
So the calluses that would form would be pretty small.
It's like they're like two... Sort of, say if I held my hands up like this, two hands together, they're meant to move like this and not
touch
each other.
This is great for a podcast because they
yes,
can't.
Sorry.
She's moving her hands.
They're meant to,
like
they're
waves.
Meant to vibrate together, but they're not meant to hit.
Imagine she's doing the ketchup song. Okay, yeah. She's doing that with her hands.
I'm sort of just, my hands are up together and then I'm waving them, but not touching them.
I feel like when we're describing porn, okay? This is going to really
be
ideal.
Look, the best way to find out what they are is to literally look up singer ENT footage of vocal cords or vocal
okay,
folds.
Okay, look it up. Look it up.
But when you get a callus, sorry, when you get a nodule, you've been thrashing your voice in an unhealthy way, which means your vocal cords are hitting each other.
So
repeatedly.
Is that when you're like pushing your voice and you're losing it a lot?
Yeah, or like you're not breathing from a good place, or you're overdoing it. Loads of musicians, professional musos, fall victim to this because they're doing shows massive arenas night after night after night, and they're touring. They're becoming jet lagged. They're exposed to the elements. If it's cold someplace and then hot somewhere else, like you're not actually supposed to be able to sing night after night after night unless you're incredibly well trained. So anyway, a nodule is when
Did
you've been
slapping. Julie Andrews get this as well?
Yes.
Oh my God.
She had to have surgery.
And it changes your voice afterwards, doesn't it?
It can. If
did
it's
it
not,
change John Mayer's?
I think it did. I think the thing that changes is not necessarily the voice or the voice tone. The thing that changes is the person's lifestyle afterwards. Like they will all of a sudden be, because it's fucked to have it more than once.
Okay,
like,
wow.
The surgery is literally going in and removing the nodules from a very, very thin membrane, a tiny membrane on your vocal cords.
I think Miley Cyrus had this as well.
Yeah,
wow,
and
so
you have to be like silent after it for about 2 months and like sometimes longer. It and then you have to retrain. Because if you're used to singing a certain way and that's the thing that gave you nodules, you have to unlearn it.
What's your favorite song of his, would you say?
I really, really like Walt Grace.
Oh, sing us a bit of that.
Walt Grace, desperately hating his old ways, dreamed to discover a new place, and buried
Stop
himself
there. That's
alive.
That's sounding too beautiful for a copyright issue there. But
I just really like it.
Sounds it. Beautiful,
it's,
yeah.
It's just a really nice, and the thing I like about it the most is it's just this standalone story that I think he made up.
His lyrics are beautiful.
His storytelling is amazing, which is why it makes me go,
don't you find them
you?
Quite sad as well? Like I find Stop This Train,
beautiful
which
song.
Is like that life is like going on and we're not going to
you
be able to get off it. You're going to die one day.
Yeah.
I just remember listening. Yeah, and everyone you know is going to die. And the train you're on is also going to crash and burn. And it's like... I just remember listening to the song. Every time I listen to it, I just start bawling my eyes out.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's beautiful.
He's so moving.
And then you hear him speak.
And I'm like... Ugh.
It's almost like... To me, it's like two people.
Yeah. His stage persona and his...
His songwriting is like...
His
songwriting is like the equivalent to me of like Mr. Darcy getting out of the fountain, you know? And it's like... It's like, oh my God, poetry.
Yeah.
And the music, because he's a very talented musician, is
And
moving.
We should say as well, he writes all his own songs.
Yeah, and he plays all his own guitar.
Amazing,
And his band have been very loyal to him as well for a very long time, I think. And they're all equally talented as well, his band. And he's the other thing I do see a lot is he supports his band members when they go on release albums as well.
Oh,
like one of his rhythm guitarists did a launch recently. And John just came on and did like a guitar, like no.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he does that. I think he really, really cares about the music, but it's also just like... Then why are you such a dick?
I know, especially to women. But Your Body is a Wonderland classic song, right? Hot Goss, that was about Jennifer Love Hewitt, right? That's the rumor.
The rumor is
that it was about who he dated.
This is the thing. This is why I just think it's so annoying when musicians do this whole, I have this extensive dating history. And I'm sure it's annoying for them as well. Like for people like Taylor Swift, for people like John Mayer and Katy Perry and whatever. Because then every song you release.
Totally.
Your entire fan base is like, and who is that about? Like Harry Styles gets it a lot
I know.
Too.
And actually John Mayer has said in an interview that he refuses to ever acknowledge that any song is about someone. Because of that reason. But
you get sued. You write a terrible song about somebody and how awful they were, and then you're like,
and that's about this person.
True. Maybe it's just for defamation reasons.
I thought it was
like an artist sort of thing. But no, you're right. It's legal.
But also maybe he changes his mind who it's about. You know, every month it's a different
person. Maybe it's all about four people. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can devolve people into one person.
You can use it. Anyway.
But the rumor
is it's Jennifer Love Hewitt. Now, he never acknowledged that was true.
Right.
But she said.
So she commented on this.
Oh, yeah, she's commented on it.
What a bad bitch.
She said, my body is far from a wonderland. it continues. My body is more like a pawn shop.
I'm obsessed.
There's a lot of interesting things put together. And if you look closely, you'll probably be excited. But at first glance, not so much.
I am obsessed with her.
Is that hilarious that she said that?
I love her.
Same.
I ironically love her.
Yeah.
She had a song in like 2002, which I used to sing all the time. Do you remember Bare Naked?
Bare naked
and I just can't take it. It's like actually really good. It's a catchy song.
Oh,
the lyrics
made it to my
sense. Oh my god. It was like her only hit and I just have loved her ever since.
Oh, we love a one hit wonder.
Yeah. And then she did Ghost Whisper. She was fine.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love Jennifer. I can't believe she came out.
I love that she said
it. My body is like a pawn shop.
Rather than just going, who knows who it's about.
I don't know who that's about.
Or no comment.
And privately calling him being like,
also, I'd be like, yeah, my body is a wonderland.
Yeah,
okay?
My body's a fucking temple.
I wouldn't be like, no, it isn't.
We love a humble queen.
What up? Especially for she's American, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god, a humble American. Rare.
Very
rare.
Yeah, if only John had been the same.
I know.
I love that song too, because there's a line in it. I don't know if you remember where he says something like hold on, I'll get the lyrics up.
Is it for Your Body is a Wonderland?
Yeah, edit.
Is it about the bubblegum tongue?
Yes!
Oh yeah, I've got it. It's 1 mile to every inch of your skin like porcelain, one pair of candy lips and your bubblegum tongue.
Oh, the worst.
Shakespeare. 1 mile to every inch of your skin like porcelain, one pair of candy lips and your bubblegum tongue. Now, does that not sound like bubblegum toe? Because for 12 years, I was singing bubblegum toe and I was thinking this man had a thing for feet.
Yeah, that.
I was like, is he chewing her toes?
Both is actually disgusting.
Yeah.
But I guess the toe especially.
I can understand why Jennifer Love Hewitt heard this and went, I am not going to attribute my body to this.
No.
Your body is one.
Exactly. Your bubblegum tongue.
Ugh.
You know what it's giving? There was
it's giving
swim
like
in a deep sea of blankets. Actually, when you read this out loud, it doesn't sound
as two
deep.
Of us,
I'm like,
the two of us,
so
like, he's a
deep.
Lyrical genius.
He's a genius.
And we read this one and we're like, fuck this.
Bubblegum tongue. The swim in a deep sea of blankets.
Swim in a deep sea of blankets.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Your Body is a Wonderland is a great line, I guess. But it's crazy, right? He's got this reputation, certainly I think among women, that he's like, oh, a lyrical genius, so beautiful, like music, but also a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
But then musicians love him, like other musicians are like, oh.
That's how I feel for the bag.
Know.
You know, because the thing is, I'm really into, you know, 70s, 80s, soul, funk. I was really into jazz too. Didn't we all have that? Ella Fitzgerald is my diva. And I was really into jazz. And like you can tell that he had those influences as well. And those rock influences. And so, you know, this artist comes along who's still releasing music that is influenced from all this music that's never going to be replicated ever again.
Mm.
You know, and you kind of go, great, I've got something to look forward to musically. He's very interesting to listen to.
I know, he is very interesting to listen to. There aren't many other people that sound like him, I would say.
I would say that there's definitely more vocal options. I don't think he's the best singer in the world.
No.
But I do think he has nailed guitar.
Oh my God, nailed guitar, and his songs are just so catchy. Like, you only should listen to them once and you could be singing them.
And lyrically, they are quite good. But I think also,
can I just say one thing about the lyrically thing? I have Waiting on the World to Change.
Oh my God.
Okay, that the lyrics in that are actually a bit messed up.
Yes.
It's basically just him saying, it seems too difficult to do anything about anything.
I mean, pretty much is.
It's him being
that
like,
the
system's fucked, but
I guess we're just going to live in it.
We're just going to live in it.
It still benefits me,
I'm
just
going to
wait.
Yep, climate, we're just wait. It's not fair, but we're not going
to
do anything about it.
I used
Doesn't
to think,
that sum up every man in power?
I used to think that was so profound.
To not to be like, we're
I was
just
like,
waiting.
That song, when I was younger, I was like, that's so true.
That's so true. The world's so fucked up.
But and we are just waiting.
You're right. It doesn't offer anything. No hope.
Doesn't offer anything. He just says it's hard to beat the system. We're just standing at a distance.
Waiting.
Stop waiting for the world to change. Be the change we want to see.
The pinnacle of being gaslit by this man, though,
oh, yeah.
is daughters.
Oh, my God.
Daughters. I used to play and play and play and play that song.
Yeah.
On repeat. I know every word, even now. And I listen to it now. And as a 25-year-old woman, I go,
oh, I know. And he
fathers
doesn't
have. Fathers, be good to your daughters.
And he doesn't even have a daughter.
No.
He doesn't have any kids.
So crazy.
And it's also just buying into that whole, women deserve respect from the lens viewpoint of a man.
Oh,
and he relate doesn't show
the
them any respect.
Women to men, you know.
Oh, my God. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers,
be good to your daughters, too.
It's like, no. How about fucking John Mayer?
Be good to women.
The chokehold that song had on me as a pick me, and now as an adult, a bit more open minded feminist, I'm like, oh, that's a really fucked up song.
Oh my
god, that's a really fucked up song.
It actually is fucked up. The bridge, boys, you can break. You find out how much they can take. Boys will be strong, and boys soldier on.
Boys will be gone without warmth from a woman's good heart.
Again, he's just taking no responsibility for anything.
It's being like,
you know, can other people do everything?
I don't even know what the point of that song is.
No, on behalf of every man looking out for every girl.
Let me vomit up my.
It's just so bad. And musically, it's so pretty.
It's
makes
so beautiful.
Me so angry.
I think that's the issue with so many of his songs. It's like if you actually read the lyrics, they're enraging. And then you listen to the
music,
but when you're listening to the music, you're like,
it gaslights
he's
you.
A genius.
It's literally like an anesthetic. It lulls you into this false sense of, oh, this is such a beautiful song. It was a hit. That song was released as like the number one single of that album.
Wow.
And you listen to it now and I go, I have betrayed myself.
Also, isn't it like a no-go to give parents advice when
you're
not
a
parent?
Yeah, like, you can just like, tell every parent at that time probably was like, fuck you, dude.
I know. Don't you think it's sort of like the whole Morrison thing where it's like, you know, I've got a daughter,
after,
so I can understand.
After Jenny put things in perspective to me that everyone's a daughter, everyone's a sister. How about everyone's a person,
dude? And him being like, fathers, mothers be good to their daughters. Like, how about you be good, mate?
It's the ultimate incel anthem, that song, and I hate it.
I know, but I'll still keep listening
and yet it's still on the playlist.
I know, I hate myself.
What's very interesting is that these two crossroads actually meet because they dated. But like, you look at Taylor Swift and you look at John Mayer, who have virtually identical careers. If you take out who they are as people, Taylor Swift was a very gifted songwriter from a very young age. He was a very gifted songwriter from a very young age. Both good at guitar, both good at singing, both wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. Like, they're just prolific
writers.
They're
both storytellers.
They meet in the middle. They dated for like a year.
Yeah.
And then they went on to write songs about each other and they went and dated other people. They both have an extensive dating history, but you never fucking heard about John's. Like, it was more of a joke. Like, I feel like back in the day, you know, you talk about John Mayer like, oh, he's a fucking, he gets some pussy.
Yeah, legend.
Whereas Taylor, I didn't like Taylor Swift for years of my life.
Agreed.
Because I was like, she just, you know,
she just
again,
goes through men.
I was a fucking pick me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She goes through men, you know, she just, you know, she dates all these men. Like, that's not who I want to look up to. And I'm like, why?
Totally. And
her,
it was just hers was more in the media than his, I think.
Because she was a young woman making choices and doing the exact same thing. That's why I find it so interesting, because it's like she got so vilified and he got to make like two really good songs and no one cared.
I know. So what was her song about him was Dear John, right?
Yeah.
And I love its subtlety, to be honest.
I know,
with
I love
you.
It too.
And then more than that, I love that it emulated Gravity.
Yes.
That song, you can just tell she went, I'm going to take your biggest hit and just rework it into a song about you.
Yeah, amazing.
As much as he probably thought it was trash, I loved it.
I love it too. I'm now a massive fan.
Oh my God, when
teaser.
She remakes, she's going to do the re-recording of it. He's going to have to run and hide like Jake Gyllenhaal when she did All Too Well.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, that will be amazing.
The beauty of redoing
the Do you like
the
Paper Doll, his one?
I do. This is what's horrible.
I know.
I'm like, I'm a feminist. And then Paper Doll comes on and I'm like, I'm going to throw my feminism out the window for like 2 seconds.
I know. What are his lyrics from Paper Doll?
Paper Doll, come try it on. Step out of that black chiffon.
Oh yeah. The sure was fun being good to you. Well,
the lyrics are crap.
You're not a father. Is she your daughter? Because I didn't remember you.
And he's so, and I hate the song because he's so smug.
He
He is that.
He's so smug. Should have kept my undershirt. Is another lyric.
Oh.
And like, how does it feel to be forced into all these dresses and wear all these things and be who these people want you to be? And I'm like, you smug prick.
Oh.
But then the music is so boom, 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 and I listen to it when I drive, and I'm like, this is such a good driving song.
Is this an insult to be like, because you're 22 girls in one?
Yeah, I think he released it around the same time she released 22. Because they dated when she was 19. Yeah, so it's just this back and forth. And also he called her song about him cheap.
He called her song?
Yeah, he called Dear John a cheap shot. But here's the thing. Taylor Swift has 100%, amongst many other reasons, gotten her comeuppance on this because she's released some stellar albums,
amazing,
obviously, in her life, and also has now, you know, she owns a fucking master's. Like, she's just absolutely
won
the
game. Also she's so much more private with her life now.
She's amazing. I just think, how do you get through? I wouldn't have been able to get through
Bullying, I wouldn't have gotten through.
But he recently, I think this is like 2019, 2020, when she released Lover, the album Lover, there's a song, there's a lyric. It was all done in jest, I guess. But he decided to criticize the lyric, "We should leave the Christmas lights up till January."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Taylor, that's not that weird. Leaving Christmas lights up till January is not that weird."
Wait, but that song wasn't about him.
No, that song's not about him at all.
But John Mayer commented on it.
He said, "That's a beautiful song. I really like that song, but I have a lyric problem. We could leave the Christmas lights up till January. That's not a revolutionary idea." And it was just done as a joke, right? But then I would raise you. He came out with the album like last year or the year before, Sob Rock.
Yeah.
And I've listened to it once, and I think that was really the turning point for me, where I was like, yep, I'm off the bandwagon. Because he has a song on that album called Why You No Love Me.
Oh no, John, your grandma gone bad now.
Why has he listed a rage comic as a fucking song title?
Wait, what's the song title? It's Why You No Love Me.
Hold on, I've got a bit of it here. Angers me so much. Musically, you're like, it's all right.
I want to just... It's okay.
Until...
Damn.
Here we go.
Why you no love me?
I wish I was deaf.
Why you no love me?
Oh my God.
I hate it too.
Why you no love me?
Why you no love me?
Why you no even care?
No.
Was just that lyric.
The sheer audacity to be like, Taylor, it's not a very revolutionary idea to leave your Christmas lights up till January. And then he writes a fucking chorus.
Why you no love
with
me?
With several grammatical errors. What? The way that he could have made it, why don't you love me?
Literally, it would still fit, wouldn't it?
Why don't you love me? Why don't you even care?
John! Yes, Why You No Love Me is, wow.
Bad. Maybe bad songwriting.
I think as he started that song, he needs help.
I'm just like, you know, like when you find out that your favorite actor, your favorite muso is just a bad person.
Yeah.
And it's like every day for me, I have like an imaginary list.
Yeah.
And then I read Twitter for like 2 hours and I go, ah, for fuck's sake. And you cross him off a bit.
Yeah.
I feel like John, I've crossed off and then erased and then crossed off and erased. And now he's, I think, crossed. And I'm, but
I think
like
that
he's crossed with like a dotted parentheses that's like,
still love the early
neon
songs.
Neon slaps though.
yeah. He's a bad guy, but
gravity.
He's a bad guy, but
I never liked this apple.
Yes,
much.
We are acknowledging we're both huge hypocrites.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We're horrible people.
We're horrible people. His songs, some of his songs are amazing, but yeah, it feels a bit like, I was going to say a one-night stand, like nice at the time but bad afterwards. But then I'm like, one-night stands aren't that nice at the time. But
he's an average night stand.
He's an average,
because
yeah.
You're right. I think we've both learnt during this episode that when you actually read the lyrics that I previously, until 10 minutes ago, thought were really good,
why are you low enough, mate? Why?
That's better than what he's got.
I've lost the plot.
But it's just like, I mean, even Gravity.
Yeah.
Gravity is beautiful because of the music.
Yeah,
and
not
then
the lyrics.
You actually read the lyrics and you're like, gravity is working against me. Gravity wants to keep me down.
Okay.
I'll never know what makes this man, with all the love that a heart can stand, dream of ways to throw it all away. Well, that sounds like a you problem, John.
That, again, these are all his problems.
I actually feel like John's problems
fathers
will be
solved need to be good to their daughters.
Do you know who he is? He's one of those men that is not a criminal.
Mm.
He's just a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
And instead of writing all these songs blaming other people for his tortured soul, yep. he should have just gone to therapy. Yep. And I think that's, I think he's the ultimate.
I think he should have gone to therapy and said, why you no love me?
You know
rather than write a song about it.
Do you know the meme? It's like, you know, men really will release a whole 14-track album called Sub Rock with the lyrics, why you no love me before going to therapy.
They really will. Even in their 40s.
Yeah. Do you know what? Actually, you know who he gives me the vibe of? Oh. John Mayer. Like, yeah. I feel like, particularly when he was young,
yeah.
he gives me the vibe of that guy that comes up after you've done a set of comedy and goes, you know, yeah, I reckon I could be a comedian.
Interesting you bring this up, Gabby, because do you know that John Mayer actually dabbled in stand-up?
You're joking.
No, he literally on YouTube, deep dive.
Oh my God, what?
No, not joking, because he's friends with Dave Chappelle.
Oh.
And I got on some rabbit hole tangent once. Yeah. And he has like a couple of clips of him doing stand-up like back
Stop
in the day.
It.
Yes. On YouTube.
Oh my
in
God.
In some like grotty bar.
I'm going to Google it right now.
Yeah, Google it.
Oh my God.
But there is one television show that I absolutely adore.
Ugh.
Have you seen this Dateline where they invite all the pedophiles into the house?
Oh, pedophilia.
Have you seen this? It's called,
so funny.
It's called To Catch a Predator, or as I like to call it, cock blocked.
Oh my God! Yuck! Okay, I actually feel physically uncomfortable.
Okay, you know what?
I can't believe that was his first joke, was that pedophiles, poor pedophiles, they get cock blocked. What? This is the same guy. Same guy who sang, did a metaphor about the train of life moving. What the fuck?
The duality of man is John Mayer and John Mayer.
I'm having an actual crisis.
Isn't it just the ultimate don't meet your heroes?
Don't look them up.
Don't look them up.
This podcast is going to ruin every single
person
for
me. When you like a musician, just don't look up
Never,
who they are.
Ever find out anything about them.
Don't find out anything about them.
Listen to their music without... And
don't look up their name.
Don't look up their name.
Oh, that song.
I like that song.
I love that body song. Yep. Yep. That's all you need
Perfect.
To know.
Perfect.
Anyway, moving on.
Let me break it down for you how it happens.
Ugh.
Dateline sets up this house. They put all these cameras in there, right? They try to cover it up like a journal show, but it's a...
I would like to add that he is sitting on a stool. Red flag.
Oh, God.
That's a red flag when I do it. I play piano.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And he's also sitting proper man spread. For our listener to get an idea... He's got both legs completely out, like east-west. His hands, like in prayer mode.
Of course.
On a handheld mic.
Can we just say, if you are... when a comedian gets on stage and sits suddenly partway through down in his set, all the comedians are back. Suddenly all the female comedians are like, ugh.
Yeah, the moment you bring a stool on but you don't play an instrument, everyone goes, you can't stand for 5 minutes.
Exactly. If you're not doing a juggling act on that stool, I don't want to fucking see that stool.
I learned in comedy, this is a tangent, I learned when I started doing comedy that, because I always sit, right? Because I play piano. I don't know if you know that about me, I play piano. and so I have to sit because it's just like, I mean, I know I could play standing, but I just am so much more comfortable to sit and play because I can see myself and whatever. It's like, whatever. But I feel like that's my justification. But I learned that stools in comedy are more tables. If you use a stool as a seat, that's a red flag.
Yeah, people normally put their water on it.
Yeah, it's a water seat.
I don't think it's a red flag if you're trying to play a piano though.
No.
I think that's really
different. Or a guitar. I will defend the guitarist.
I think I almost hate it though. The most when they sit down partway through. It's like, you've been up there for 3 minutes. You can't be that tired.
It's giving School of Stepford with the one prop that shows for 5 seconds and then gets off. Because the thing is, a stool during a special, if you're doing a straight hour.
Sure,
maybe. Fine. Rest your legs
a bit, baby.
You've earned
it. Sure.
Yeah, but like, you know, if you have to, you have to. You've been up there for an hour, right?
Yeah.
5 minutes set. This is John Mayer at Laugh Factory. He's not doing a show.
How long is he doing? How long's the set?
This is a 2.5 minute bit.
2.5 minutes?
And he's sitting.
Hilarious.
Ugh.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, continuing on.
It's like cops with a good, healthy running start. Because what they do is they bait these child predators into coming over to a house. So they get online and they start typing and it's hilarious. It's a hilarious show because they always...
I love a comedian being
for the
punchline. This is hilarious, by the way.
This joke is hilarious. So when you say it's hilarious, that makes it more hilarious.
They get these actors to reread the transcripts. I would like to come over to your house to have anal sex. That sounds cool. And of course they show it on the screen, K-E-W-L. And by the way, if you spell cool, K-E-W-L, you at least deserve a little finger banging right there just for that.
Oh my God. Can I just say...
you know what's nice? The circle of life. Because he then, you know, this is like, 10 years ago. He's now gone on to make Why You No Love Me. And I'm like, speak your language,
John. True language. Exactly. Maybe someone else was writing his lyrics for those deep ones. Who is this guy?
Oh, so horrible.
And sorry, isn't there the pot calling the kid all black? Like, why you no love me?
Why?
Yeah. ever stop talking about this?
No, neither.
I'm yep. like, and also, like, I used to be one of those fucking cunts as well, where I'd see somebody misspell a word on Facebook in, like, my high school but years.
It's actually your.
And be like, imagine making an argument on Facebook when you spell there with the wrong context. It's T-H-E-I-R. And you know what I learned through doing that for about 4 years of my life? Yeah. It does not make you any friends.
No.
It actually
but it
makes
does
you...
make you grammatically correct.
Oh, my God.
And what's more important?
Friends, definitely friends.
You're right, you're right. Okay, well, I feel like we've covered John Mayer.
I think we've skimmed.
We've skimmed.
There's so much more that that man is
I
yet
feel like
to
I'm
recover.
Grieving an ex.
I feel like
I'm grieving him because he's just not
it's
what
like
I want him to be.
When you learn that someone's not who you... It's, yeah, it is. It's like he could have been so much more. And and now I have to just, you know, I can look back on the photos we have together and smile. But then I remember that right after the photo was taken, he vomited in my mouth, you know? Like that's the feeling John Mayer gets to me. On some level, I'm glad I know all of these horrible things about him now. But on some level, I do kind of wish I could just go back to being naive and not knowing any of it.
I wish I didn't know, I certainly wish I'd never seen that stand-up club.
I'm so upset.
I think that was the most upsetting and why you no love me. Those two things together, that was breaking point for
fucking
me.
Fucking hell.
Should we move on to music goss?
Oh, let's. I love music goss.
Sounds a bit like gravity.
Music goss.
It's better.
I want to beat your hoven.
Floyd, what the hell was that mean? I was trying to be sexy for the segment.
Oh, and you were sexy for the segment.
God, my Kiwi accent is so strong.
Sexy.
Trying to be
sexy.
Sexy.
Everyone's going to be like, why is she trying to be six?
Sexy for the segment.
Sexy for the segment.
Okay, so what's our music goss this week?
Music goss for this week is actually, it's a little bit of a stretch. I won't lie. It's not exactly goss about
what
a
would
musician.
You grade yourself? You know, in those self-assessments that you have to do, what would you grade yourself?
About a six.
A six
on this one.
Out of?
100.
100.
But it is. I came across this just out of sheer chance, and I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of this is just ripped straight from the Google search because I will say
it's
one.
Where we get all our info.
I'm good at a few things, but one of those things is not researching and then making those words sound like mine. You know that whole turn it in, turn it
I'm
in.
I'm really good at
my
jumping
life.
To conclusions. So I read one line and I'm like,
got it.
Yep.
No, exactly. So this is, you know, once again, we will reiterate on this podcast like we always do. We're not experts. We don't know what we're talking about, aside from the fact that we both have 10 years of classical music theory behind us. That's it.
Yeah,
and that was also several years ago.
We've completely forgotten
so
all of
it. So we're fucking, we are not who you should be looking for this information. But if you just want a bit of goss, that's what this segment's for. So this week's music goss is about John Taylor, which is just the white, it's a John
thing. Mayer, John Taylor, his doppelganger.
No,
his dad.
No, John
is
Taylor.
Is he good to his daughter and his?
No, he is not.
Wow.
John Taylor was an oculist.
Ooh.
In the 1700s, 1800s, and I think late 1700s. Again, didn't read the dates, didn't really care. Basically, he was, what I'm assuming an oculist, I just guessed based on the word oc, but I'm assuming that's like an old-timey optometrist before they figured out
I love this conclusion we're dropping to.
Yeah, didn't go to uni, by the way.
That sounds something to do with the eye.
Yeah, something like that. Or an octopus, can't tell. But anyway, doesn't matter.
Head or eye, yep.
Yeah, he was an oculist, and basically he's widely rumored. Like a lot of the information that I found is it can't really be confirmed by a lot of people, but it's just there's
so
many
new idea
stories.
In every other magazine.
Yeah, I think he might have been one of the earliest documented quacks.
Wow.
Among the thousands, I suppose, that were in the 1700s when we were just kind of figuring out medicine by just cutting cunts open and
being like,
we did it, we healed
them. Yes, yeah.
You know, sepsis, it's not sepsis, it's a miracle. All of that
stuff.
So
he was like an eye doctor.
Eye doctor.
Okay.
If you can call it that. Basically, he worked on several, you know, notable people. He worked on, I think, a King George, one of them. There's like 16 million of them.
Yeah.
But one of the King Georges and he did
not the one who's
on.
Alive right now.
Yeah. And he widely, like he had the ego of fucking Liberace. Like the guy was I am the best.
Ugh.
I am the best eye doctor in the land.
Yeah.
And that's why he was hired by all these people. I love that people just believe, like you have no reference of education or anything like that in the 1700s. So if you just say you're the best, people will just be like,
yeah,
I guess you are.
Okay,
Okay. But anyway, in his later years, Johann Sebastian Bach, that old chestnut.
Classic. Bach. We love Bach.
We love Bach. Bach is like, if you don't know who Bach is, which fair enough, he is like the daddy of all classical music. Like every piece of classical music was pretty much
derived
by
him. He was a big deal.
Yeah.
He was the John Mayer of their time.
He really was
probably
the blueprint.
A better guy. Probably a better guy, I would
argue. Maybe. It was
we don't
the 1700s.
Bad boy Bach.
Look, history says that all of the white men of this period were probably garbage. But, you know, but he was...
a legend of the classical music field. Basically, every other composer, every single composer you can name,
most songs you hear,
Bach.
Yeah,
you hear a classical song, most likely going to be Bach.
Yeah, or influenced by him.
True, they're all like derived from.
You know
Bach?
Who, you know who Bach was to every other classical composer? Who the Beatles are to every white male musician
so
now?
So true, and it's probably like what Joe Rogan is to like every Sydney male comic. You know that.
Oh, we might get in a bit of trouble for that one.
No.
It's a podcast. It's our job to be edgy. Anyway.
Yeah, jokes. So this guy, John Taylor, this oculist, actually worked on Bach. Bach had some eye troubles in his later years and he had severe cataracts and he opted to find an eye surgeon to restore his sight, who was John. And unfortunately, unfortunately, he instead found a man named John Taylor.
Oh God.
Well, imagine that being your legacy. And Taylor was known for performing like really unorthodox surgery.
Oh my.
So he performed a primitive type of eye surgery called couching.
Oh.
Which involved dislocating the lens of the eye and pushing it back.
Oh my God.
Right. And so after the surgery, Bach reported obviously, shockingly, extreme pain in his eyes. And a week later, he was operated on by John Taylor again.
Oh no.
A second time. Imagine, Bach, baby, you might have been a fucking visionary, but you're not very bright, are you?
No.
This is called a toxic relationship.
I'm going to go back to this person.
Incredible pain from this primitive surgery that I got from this man. Better go back to
him.
Did
he get both eyes done? Or?
He went back and got both of them
done.
And that second surgery left Bach completely blind. And
okay,
it's speculated that second surgery likely resulted in his death a couple of months later. So this guy, John Taylor, like I guess...
Some
murdered
toxicity
him.
Or something.
Yeah.
In the eye.
Yeah. Well, he just fucked his eyes
up. Did he make
up.
Any music after that or was that the end?
No, I think that was it. And it, like, that's what I found really interesting because I learned all through my classical music.
No one talks about John Taylor. He killed Bach.
And I learned all through my classical music lessons that, you know, the amazing person, you know, you learn about Beethoven going deaf.
Yeah,
like
you don't hear about Bach
but
losing his
vision. I never
vision.
Learned that Bach learned his vision. But I guess a lot of people in the 1800s and the 1700s probably lost their fucking... All sorts of shit went wrong.
True, I wear glasses now.
They were all guinea
so
pigs
soon.
For the medical journals. Yeah. So I feel
And yeah. I probably would have been like, yeah, John Taylor sounds great. Yeah. Do whatever you think.
Oh, sure, I went blind from both eyes from both of his surgeries. But that probably was just going to happen
he's
anyway.
He's the best. He says he's the best.
And the funniest thing about it was that after this happened to Bach, apparently, this guy, John Taylor, was like, he was adamant. No, like that surgery went exactly how it was supposed to go. Like, no, yeah. I am the best. I am the best. And then he went on to work on Handel.
Oh my God.
German composer George Frederick
Handel. Did he ruin Handel?
And he had a similar operation at the hands of John Taylor and unsurprisingly was left completely blind.
You're
as well.
Kidding me. Did Handel also die? Like,
I don't know
if
Handel died from this.
Oh, so he was improving.
But he was
his
blind.
Technique was improving.
This man was going around just fucking making people
blind
and saying that, oh, well, they're blind now, but there was nothing I could do.
Oh, my Lord.
He was a complete quack. But the other funny thing that I learned about him, there's loads that's a mystery with this guy. Like, he was just, like, he would never take criticism.
Yeah.
So it seems like every time somebody was like,
every brilliant doctor.
Hey, that surgery, that went wrong. You did something wrong. And he was, like, documented as being like, no! The miracle just wasn't in my hands that night.
Oh, my God.
Like, it just wasn't. God wasn't
Maybe
on my side.
He was the OG narcissist.
Yeah. But anyway, this is the funniest sentence that I found from his Wikipedia. Was the time and place of Taylor's death are uncertain. Listen to this. This is so funny. The musicologist Charles Burney claimed that he died on the morning of Friday, 16th of November, 1770 in Rome, also claiming to have, quote, dined with him at my table a few days before his death. He was also, though, said to have died in Paris in June and July 1772.
Oh, my God.
Several newspapers in Germany and England, though, reported that he had recently died at a convent in Prague, completely blind, after having suffered from amaurosis.
What is that?
I don't actually know. I'm assuming something that says you're fucking blind. I have an alternate theory that he went, I'm done, and did his own surgery on himself. This
my
version
Lord.
Was also supported by Taylor's own grandson, also called John Taylor. And also John Taylor's dad, unsurprisingly called John Taylor.
Of
so
course.
I just found it Taylor so Jr. funny that like
yeah, you're
I
right.
feel
amaurosis
like
is vision loss. So funny.
I find it so funny that like he, I think
he died
the reason
doing what he does best. died.
Blind and
died doing what he loved.
Died doing what he
making
loved.
Making people fucking
also,
blind.
Also, hold on. What? So there's three different reports of where he died.
I think the so actual funny. Story is like either, you know, maybe
he never died.
The logical story is that
he was reincarnated as John Mayer. John Taylor became John Mayer.
Handed down. No, but like I think, you know, the logical argument is that people weren't documenting things very well at this time and, you know, people just made up stories and people just believed them. Like they believed that this man was really good at his job.
Yeah.
I like to believe that they found out he was very, very bad and he was maybe in a lot of trouble and so he was on the run. And I feel like over the course of being on the run, darting between different countries, he just told people he died when he left.
He died, yeah.
Oh, I'm dead.
People are like, oh, he died.
I guess he's dead.
He told me he died.
He told me he was dying.
He's dead.
That's comical.
And I just, yeah, I just thought that was a really funny story. And what's really funny is like if you want to know his general approach, I cannot stress enough how much I think this man really did just pick up a book one day and go, I'm now an eye surgeon. His general approach included bloodletting, laxatives, eye drops of blood from slaughtered pigeons, pulverized sugar, or baked salt. So it's like he's
so
like,
funny.
Oh, your eyes are fucked up. I'm gonna stick a bunch of shit in your eyes.
That's gonna make them worse. Laxatives can do anything, guys.
Also, the laxative things makes me laugh a bit because just the idea that somebody like Johann Sebastian Bach could have been
just
shitting.
So funny.
And you can't see what you're doing as well. They're completely blind. So they're just shitting themselves.
I just can't believe that.
And then
I
they're
mean,
putting pigeon blood. Oh my god.
Like you know that the life expectancy of people in the 1700s was not good anyway.
Yeah, no shit.
But then they you were look like, at this and you go, they're idiots.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, dentists are like, you can add 7 years to your life if you floss your teeth.
No.
I think you can add 50 years to your life if you don't put pigeon blood in your eyes
and take constant laxatives.
It makes me go, how did they weed out the good doctors from the shit ones?
I don't, yeah, when did doctors become a not psycho thing?
Yeah. Because at this point in time, if I needed help, I would have just let nature do its thing.
I probably would be too.
I would have been like, I guess I'm going blind.
But it probably was the rich people who did it, who could afford it.
He is the fucking Gwyneth Paltrow of the 1770s.
Oh my god! Yeah, trying out different things for
Here's his equivalent vagina candle. It's a bit weird, but some people with a lot of money will do it.
Yeah, so funny.
Anyway, that's the music goss.
Okay, love the music goss. Well done, Gabby. I've got a nomination for Batshit Musician of the Week.
I love this segment.
Okay, I am. Look, he's sort of a musician. Mm. He's actually an actor pretending to be a musician. Does that count?
That definitely counts.
Okay, good. This is going to become a really tangential segment. So it's Austin Butler who plays. Yeah, who plays Elvis in recent biopic that's come out in cinemas.
Yeah.
And he does sing in the movie, so yes. I think it does count. And on
good
Jimmy
on
Fallon, like he does a bit of an impression like of the singing and also of the dancing. Now, okay, Batshit Crazy Magician, here's my reason why. Okay, one, he has said that he didn't see his friends or family for 3 years
while he was
preparing for the part.
Oh my god.
That's psycho.
Yeah.
And that's why him and Vanessa Hudgens broke up.
Vanessa Hudgens is punching the air right now.
Oh my god. She's like, he's a psycho.
She's gone.
He's obviously beautiful, but he is a psycho. Mm. But then he can't drop the voice.
I've heard about this.
He spent like 2 years speaking as Elvis, not seeing his friends and family. And so now in interviews, and like singing, he doesn't know what his real voice is anymore. He's still speaking as Elvis. When he came to Sydney for like premiere and interviews and stuff, he was speaking as Elvis.
It's
it was
creepy.
So fucked up.
I just think we should just end method acting.
Learn to act, mate.
I love that there is a quote, I believe it to be from Laurence Olivier.
Okay.
You know, you think of Laurence Olivier, he is like the actor. He is the male actor. And I think when he was asked about method acting, he was like, no.
Yeah,
you just,
a bunch of them have.
You
said
just
that.
Act.
Who's the? Did Robbie Downey? No, I'm so paraphrasing as well. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. So many of them have said
it's just acting.
It's just acting.
Act.
Why don't you just try act?
Because I'm sick of hearing these stories, these batshit stories of like male actors, and it's always men.
It's always
Like Charlize Theron played a fucking serial killer in Monster. She won an Oscar for it.
I know, and she was triggered by the fact that a similar thing happened to her own life, and yet she's still not behaving like that.
She managed to act that and not send, you know, dead fucking rodents to her castmates like Jared Leto did when he was the Joker in objectively the worst Joker film.
Oh,
I watched
God.
That and I was like, really? You sent dead rodents to your castmates for this movie?
Yeah.
Your movie better be fucking amazing if you're sending dead
rodents
to people.
Well, then what's most annoying is like this Elvis thing and Austin Butler, he got like a 12-minute standing ovation in
cans or whatever. It's
but I don't care now.
Who stands for 12 minutes?
Oh, fucking not John Mayer.
Americans. Yeah, not John Mayer. He's on that.
He can't stand for 2 hours.
I think we should end our podcast there. That was chef's kiss, Kevin.
But I think the Austin Butler thing is so funny to me because the idea that, like, I was asking my roommates about this. I don't even have a batshit musician of the week because I agree with you so strongly on this one.
Where it's Austin all the way.
I was talking to my roommates about this and we were all theorizing, like, why the movie is done. In fact, for you, if you're an actor,
it's been done for six months.
It's been done for ages. Yeah. You know, you do the filming and then the editing takes like a year for the most part. So you can just drop it. And then by the time you do the press tour, you can be completely yourself. I don't get why. And then so that's why we theorize it's definitely a marketing thing, right?
Maybe.
It's like Baz Luhrmann is like with a whip. Yeah. Like, you will keep the voice going. Otherwise, I will not be able to make a stage musical out of this.
Maybe.
Like,
blah, blah, blah.
But then I go.
But he went to fucking hospital.
But it's also. But it's also like, do you know what I don't want to go and see now because it is annoying me so much?
Elvis. Either. Yep.
I'm like, I actually just don't. I couldn't do it.
I can't support this.
I can't
support you and your mental health problems.
And also, you want to talk about problematic musicians who everyone adores the music of.
Oh, my God. Elvis.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Well, I mean, he profited off black artists.
Oh, he did.
He just did black music and made it sellable to white people. Even there's an iconic, I urge everyone to look this up. In fact, I might just put it in the end of this episode to just end this episode. There is an amazing interview with Ray Charles before he died about, you know, what do you think of the icons?
Yeah.
Do you consider Elvis, you know, an icon? And Ray Charles is like, he's a white guy who can kind of sing and he took music of my people that we've been doing for decades and made shitloads more money off it. So I don't really know if you can call that success.
Oh my God. You've got to play that interview.
Yeah, I will. I might end this episode with that. Nice little learning moment for
everyone. Yeah. If you're not laughing, you're learning. We'll leave it there.
Bye.
Bye.
Maybe some exceptions though. I mean, Elvis was a talented guy.
Well, okay.
Not necessarily. You'd know better than I.
Yeah.
Let me ask it differently. How good was Elvis?
What Elvis did, he caused a lot of the populace, if you want to, and usually when people say populace, they usually mean white people, to start listening to a lot of music that normally they wouldn't have been listening to. I guess I'm going to lose at least about a third of my fans right now. But to say that Elvis was so great and so outstanding, like they say, he's the king. I got in trouble because one guy asked me this question and I said the king of what, and he got mad at me. You see, I don't think of Elvis like that because I know too many artists that are far greater than Elvis. I think Elvis was person came along at the right time where he was a white kid that could do rock and roll or rhythm and blues or whatever name you want to call it, and the girls could swoon over him. Nat Cole got in trouble in Alabama when the women swooned over him, got put out of town. And black people been going out shaking their behind for centuries. What the hell's unusual about that, shaking their hips and stuff? And that's all Elvis was doing was copying that. And he was doing our kind of music. He was doing the Willie Mae Thornton jailhouse rock. That's black music. So what the hell am I supposed to get so excited about, man? But I think all this stuff about saying he's the king and he's the... it's a piece of bunk. Sorry. Next question. Don't ask me no more about Elvis because you got in enough trouble as it is.
I think you covered